My. Complaining Christians. It's an oxymoron. Because as a Christian, we should be thankful. As a Christian, we should praise God for the blessings that he has given us. And I see people that pray about a job. They go to the Lord. They fall on their face. They say, pray for me that I get this job. And the Lord blesses them with a job. And then they start complaining about it.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church.
We thank you for joining us today as we continue our series, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Work, the Employee God Loves.
Asking people to identify some issues that they want me to deal with. And surprisingly, one that came up in several responses was the issue of work and in being an employee. And how do you be how are you an employee that honors God? And so this morning, that's going to be the subject of our talk. I'm going to say ahead of time that I'm probably not going to have too many friends after this message is over, but that's all right, because God has a certain idea in mind when he thinks about an employee. And as we go through this today, I want you to ask yourself, are you an employee that God loves? Now, some of you say, well, I'm retired, or I don't have a job. Well, I would ask that you be prayerful for those who are still working, and also that you might be able to take the notes or take the CD and share it with somebody that you know is not being an employee that God loves. But if you would open in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke chapter 17, Luke chapter 17, verses 7 through 10. Luke 17, verses 7 through 10. The employee God loves. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him when he has come from the field, go and sit down to eat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready that which I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So you also, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, for we have done that which was our duty to do. We see in the story before us today that a man was working in the field, and he worked in the field all day long. And when he came in from the field, the master said, before you begin to take care of your own needs, what I want you to do is fix me something to eat, serve me, clean up, and then you can take care of yourself. And as we look at the example that Jesus is presenting in this parable or story, however we want to take it, it's actually referring to an individual who has learned to please his master. And so if we are going to have a job that pleases and we work to please God, that we would understand some of the principles in this story today. You know, as I think about things that are strange, we have a strange phenomenon in our society today, and it's called oxymorons, right? And what is an oxymoron? It's kind of like two opposites that are put in the same phrase. You know, for instance, we say jumbo shrimp. You know, go figure. We use the expression living dead. We talk about original copies. We use the term freezer burn. We talk about sweet tart. There's a phrase that says silent scream. There's one that says tight slacks. So these are oxymorons. Well, one of the biggest oxymorons that is probably in the Christian world is complaining Christians. My. Complaining Christians. It's an oxymoron. Because as a Christian, we should be thankful. As a Christian, we should praise God for the blessings that he has given us. And I see people that pray about a job. They go to the Lord. They fall on their face. They say, pray for me that I get this job. And the Lord blesses them with a job. And then they start complaining about it. And so what are you doing? You actually cursing your blessing. That you ask God to give you something. God blessed you with it. And now you're complaining about it. I told you I'm not going to have too many friends after this morning is over. I told you that from Jump Street. But I'm not here to make friends this morning. You know, I'll shake a hand and make a friend after the service today. But if we think about the philosophy and attitude that a lot of people have about work, what is it? I owe, it's off to work, I go. And so we go to work to earn a paycheck, but we go to work with a bad attitude. Somebody said that there are 43% of American office workers who are not satisfied with their job. 43% of the people who work in office situations are not satisfied with your job. I'm reminded of the song. We probably all heard it at some point in time, especially those of us who are of a certain age, by Dolly Parton. And the song goes like this. 9 to 5 for service and devotion. You would think I would deserve a fair promotion. Want to move ahead, but the boss won't seem to let me. I swear sometimes that man is out to get me. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taken and no given. They just use your mind and never get the credit. I tell you, it's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. Working 9 to 5. And that seems to be the attitude of a lot of God's people, that they are just trying to make it by on the job. But I want to share with you some things that if you will listen and hear what the Word of God will say to you this morning, it will revolutionize, no matter what situation, no matter what you're dealing with, it will revolutionize your attitude about your job. What is work? Work is the expenditure of energy, whether it's physical or mental, to accomplish the task for financial compensation. That's what work is. So as we define it today, that's what we're talking about. It's whenever you expend energy, whether it's physical or mental, and as you expend that energy, you accomplish a task and you get paid for the task that you have done. It's not like the guy who was walking by the store one day and there was a big sign in the window that said, no help wanted. And as the two guys passed by, one guy said to the other, he said, you should apply for that job. You'd be great for it. See, work implicates and means that we're going to put out some energy and that we're putting out whatever energy that we have in order to accomplish a task that we might be remunerated for it. Now, I feel that up front it's important that I deal with what is meaningful employment, because having a church in the hood, sometimes we don't understand what it means to be meaningfully employed. So what is meaningful employment? Well, it's work that is not immoral, illegal, or unethical. That's gainful employment. See, I got to say that now because, again, you know, sometimes people have the concept just because they're making some money and they got some cash coming in that they're employed. But that's not employment in first of all, in the moral sense. You know, and I put up some of the things up there, you know, that would be, you know, there's a whole lot of people making money immorally. A whole lot. All you got to do is turn your TV on and you'll see that there are multitudes of people who are making a financial gain immorally. And we see that there are people who are making money illegally. All right, all you got to do is just drive up the street and see pimps, prostitutes, and drug dealers. All right, so they might be making money. And the sad thing is that a lot of our young people think that that's the way that they're supposed to make money. But that's not meaningful employment. That's robbing and raping society. and not only raping society, but devastating society. So there's illegal, and then there's unethical. And what is unethical employment is that is when you are required to do something that asks you to lie, cheat, or be dishonest. And sometimes, you know, we can have jobs on Wall Street, right? You don't have to be in the hood for this one right here. You can be on Wall Street, and this is what they would be asking to you to do. So we're talking about this morning meaningful employment, gainful employment, not employment that is immoral, illegal, or unethical, all right? As we move on, I thought before we really got into the message today that it would be important for me to lay a foundation. And what I want to talk about now is the work of theology, or the theology of work. What is the theology of work? And I went through the scripture and I studied some of the key things that it said about work. And so you want to understand this because, you know, as you go to your job every day, it's important that you understand that there is a theology behind work. That when you get in your car or you catch the bus and you arrive on your job and you go to work, that there is a theology behind it. It's not some secular thought by man in the history past, but this is a thought, this is a concept that comes from the very mind and the very heart of God. When we talk about work, it's in the scripture, and we see that God has designed and God has laid forth his purposes and his plans for work. The first thing that we see is work is sanctioned by God. And we have this example seen for us in Exodus, you don't have to turn there, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11, where it says that that God in the Ten Commandments, that he worked 6 days and he rested on the seventh day. So God not only sanctioned work in the Ten Commandments, but he also modeled work. God is the ultimate model of what it means to work. God intended work to be a part of man's society from the very beginning. Work was not an afterthought with God. Work was God's intention from the very beginning. So as you're sitting there today, you got to ask yourself, what is your attitude and what is your philosophy towards work? Because this is something that God ordained and established from the beginning. Let's go back to Genesis, if you would. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. In verse 8. And this was before man fell. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. All right, God plants a garden, and he puts man there. Now look at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to keep it, to till it and to keep it. Work. From the very beginning, before we see here that God even created the woman, that he had established for man principles of work. And so again, you know, we need to get rid of this whole concept and mentality that we see in our society today of a free ride. You know, there's no free ride. And the problem is that we have too many people that are expecting entitlements when the scripture is very clear that God has designed his people to go out and work. Now, you know, again, I'm not saying that this is a cover-all for everybody. We know that some people can't work, all right? So, you know, if people can't work, I'm not talking about them, so I can hear somebody shoot me, well, what about the people that can't work? Well, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about that lazy joker. All right? That work has always been a part of God's purpose and plan for mankind. And work is God's way for man or woman to take care of his needs or the needs of his family. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 3. And verse 10. And I've got a couple other scriptures down there that you can read, but this is one I wanted to point out. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, If any would not work, neither should he eat. Now, I went back and I looked this up in the Greek. Let me give you the Greek translation. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. That's what it says in the Greek, the Aramaic, the Hebrew, the Chinese, Japanese. Very, very clear about that. And so, you know, we need to have the mindset that work is a part of our society, that work should be a part of your life. We see that God gave us work so that we could enjoy the fruit of our labor. That God says that when we work, that when you get your paycheck, that you go home, you pay your rent, you pay your car note, you buy your food, that God says that you should enjoy the fruit of your labor. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Are you enjoying the fruit of your labor? Now, here goes something that we see. Look, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And I'm doing a lot of teaching this morning because, now look, I wasn't going to preach this. Y'all asked for this now. Y'all asked me to preach on this. All right? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 12. I know that there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. Look at this. It is the gift of God. God's gift to mankind is work. Some people say, that's a gift I don't want. God's gift to mankind is work. It's just like the person who was working in the office and said, I don't like to drink coffee on the job because I turn and toss and turn at my desk all day. Guy fell asleep on the job, and the boss came by and said, why you fall asleep on the job? He said, I was just looking at the back of my eyelids. But, see, people need to understand that work is a gift from God. Man is not to find his identity or ultimate fulfillment in work. Solomon found that out, that even as important as work is, that you should not find your identity or your ultimate fulfillment in work. A job is a job. God has blessed you with a job. He wants you to enjoy the fruit of it, but God does not want you to find your identity in your job. And that's a problem that we have in our society today. Too many people get wrapped up in their job, and they feel that's why you get people when they lose their job. They go commit suicide. Why is that? Because their whole identity was wrapped up in their job. You've got to identify an identity apart from your job. Now, here is one that I know I'm going to get an email on, but that's all right. You can send it to staylor@gmail.com. Now, you go back and study the Old Testament. The biblical welfare system was based on the foundation of work. God didn't say just give somebody something. It was based on a foundation of work. That the poor, who couldn't take care of themselves, they couldn't provide for themselves. The scripture says that whenever you glean the field, that you leave something for the poor, so that they could come and be fed and have their needs taken care of. So God's welfare system involves work. That's biblical. That's biblical. And work will keep a person honest. If you work, the chances are you're going to be an honest person. But if you don't work, then you end up doing all kinds of dishonest stuff. You end up cheating the government, cheating on welfare, cheating on food stamps. You end up lying, Here come the man to collect the rent. Tell him I ain't here. It'll keep you honest. Your work will keep you honest. So this is the theology of work. Now, as we move ahead, there's four things that I want to say this morning about the employee that God loves. First of all, the employee that God loves is surrendered to selflessness. As we look at Luke chapter 17 once again, the employee that God loves is surrendered to selflessness. You see what happened to this guy? He had been in the field all day long, plowing and feeding cattle. Plowing and feeding cattle all day long. And I would venture to say it was longer than 8 hours. He comes in the house. Now, after 8 hours of hard work in the field, wouldn't you agree that it's time for me to take care of myself? That it's time for me to take a shower and fix me something to eat and chill time. This is me time. But he comes in, and what does the master say? Oh, wait a minute. Chill out. Before you take care of yourself, you go clean up, fix me something to eat, serve me, and after I have finished eating and drinking, clean up, and then you can take care of yourself. Now let me ask the question. Where in this man's spirit was any self? You show me where any self is in that. Oh man, look, I've been out there all day. It's time for me to take care of my needs. Now, look, I might fix you something to eat, but I'm not going to serve it. You see, I mean, you don't hear any self. And so if you have a job, that you have to surrender to selflessness. Now, I'm not saying if you're being mistreated that you go along with that. I'm not saying if you're being abused. I'm not saying that, because that's not the general circumstance that's happening to people on their jobs. What I'm saying is that in the time that you've been hired to do the job that you've been asked to do you do it unselfishly? Or do you have a selfish spirit? You know, they don't think about me. This servant right here, this master didn't think about him. Well, he didn't realize what he was putting on me. He didn't think about that. And so what I want to say is that first and foremost, when we surrender to selflessness, the whole idea should be to glorify God. Why are you on your job? You're not on your job first and foremost to get a paycheck. I'm going to tell you, now see, some of y'all don't want to hear that. I know that. Even though we get paid, and that's why we go to work, to get paid. All right? You know, at the end of the time, or 2 weeks or whatever, what is our expression? Show me the do-re-mi. Look, Jack, I want my smack. You know, we want to get paid. You know, there's no question about that. But as a Christian, you are not on your job first and foremost to get a paycheck. You are on your job to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, no matter what you do, whether you eat, drink, and I'll throw this in, work, do all to the glory of God. So how can I glorify God on my job? Well, there's a couple of ways that we can do this. First of all, when you go to work, you got to put on your work uniform. What is your work uniform? The armor of God. When you go to work without the armor of God on, you are going to work naked. Now, you know what? It's one thing to go to your job and work with a bunch of devils. It's another thing to go to work naked. And there's a whole lot of Christians that's going to work naked every day, and then they wonder why they have problems. They wonder why they have issues. And the problem is that you haven't put on the armor of God. If I put on the armor of God, I can withstand anything that job is going to dish out. So that's the first thing I got to do. And see, we need to realize that we need to get ready to go to work. You know, I don't want you to raise your hand, but how many people get ready to go to work? Well, I'm not talking about taking a shower and combing your hair and all that. I'm talking about getting ready. Getting spiritually ready to go to work. You know, when we was in the world.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Work, the Employee God Loves. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Work, the Employee God Loves, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request Work, the employee God loves. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request Work, the employee God loves. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.